The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, you. Welcome back to Star Wars Minute. It's your daily podcast where we analyze, we scrutinize, and we celebrate Rogue One, a Star Wars story, one minute at a time. I'm Alex Robinson from comicbookalex.com.
I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
I'm Cece Pleasance from Mechanicsville, Virginia.
I'm Tony Thaxton. I used to live in Mechanicsville, Virginia, but now I live at TonyThaxton.com.
Welcome back, the two of you. Mechanicsville. Thanks for coming back on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Yes.
We're talking about minute 93. Is that what you guys have notes for, 93?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Might as well.
It starts off with Krennic telling everyone that he wants to read all of Galen's old emails. And it ends a minute later with Sergeant Melshi confessing that he's ready. So it starts with Krennic demanding to see all his old dispatches.
Yeah.
And
I like the let's compare and contrast kind of Imperial authority figures, where you had, you know, Darth Sidious, you know, the Emperor saying, like, wipe them out, all of them. And that's, you know, he's killing all these people. And then you have Krennic being like, you know, you read all that old data, all of them. It's like,
all of them?
Really?
That's going to take forever.
It's so, like, he's such a bureaucrat that it's just like, kind of like, yeah, look, read all those old emails.
And then Krennic says, get started. He yells at him to get started. And it has that weird... there's been a couple of times where Ben Mendelsohn, the actor playing Krennic, almost has like a Sylvester,
yeah,
the cat kind of...
What do we call it? Funny mouth?
Funny mouth.
He's got funny mouth.
He has like, a little like, bit started. Of a lisp, I think. Yeah. That like Ben Mendelsohn actually has a small lisp.
Oh, you think that's what it
I
is?
I think so, because are you guys watching Outsider?
No.
To go off on another... it's great. He's great. Mm-hmm. And he plays the main detective guy, and he has... I was like, oh, he has a little bit of a lisp.
Huh.
It's enjoyable. It gives him character.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, I think that's just his mouth.
So this is a show that's currently running?
Yes.
It's on HBO, right?
Yeah, it's a Stephen King... It's based on a Stephen King
novel.
Oh, I
didn't know it was a Stephen King thing.
Yeah, it's real good.
Have you seen him in any other projects, Ben Mendelsohn?
I feel like maybe, but I don't know what.
Yeah.
I don't remember things. You guys know that about me.
I totally forgot that.
Nice. I see what you did.
Yeah. What about you, Tony? Did you ever see him in anything else?
I don't think so.
Had you seen any of the other Rogue One actors in anything before this? How about that?
Yes.
Felicity
Jones. What was she in?
Actually, I don't think I had seen her in anything.
She played Stephen Hawking's wife in that movie.
Yes.
I didn't see
Mrs. Hawking.
Stephanie Hawking.
I didn't have it. Yeah. I was going to, for some reason, the first one that I was going to say was Attack of the Clones, which is not. Like, I was going to try to throw in like a completely absurd, you know, other movie, but for some reason, the one bubbling up was Attack of the Clones, which is not far enough afield to be funny, because then it would just be like, wait, what was something Attack of the Clones? It was too close to what we're talking about.
Yeah, so. She just said, on the move.
There you go.
Attack of the Clones 2 on the move.
Attack of the Clones 2.
Oh boy. I think Electric Boogaloo.
I think the only thing that comes to mind that I didn't even see it regularly, but I saw a little bit of Hannibal that Mads Mikkelsen was
oh,
in.
Oh, right.
But,
famous.
Right? Is that what, that's what the show was called, right? Hannibal?
Yes, Hannibal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw
the A-Team. That's what you're thinking of.
Oh, my mistake.
Sometimes you think it's called Hannibal because he features so prominently in it.
But. Yes. And of course, I've seen the famous actor playing Weetief, whatever his name is, Warwick Davis. He's been in some things.
Yeah,
I've seen
he's
him.
Been in a lot of stuff.
That's the only other one I can think of.
Hmm.
Not counting Alan Tudyk.
Right.
Yeah. Have you seen, what have you liked him in?
I know he was, oh man, what do I like him in?
He's one of those actors. Where
I know. He kind of just
guy.
Blends in.
Yeah.
But he's always good.
Or Moana
Yeah, I know he does voices.
Yeah.
I think wasn't he King Candy in Wreck-It Ralph?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was, I enjoyed him in
he's
that.
He popped up in something else too that we.
Firefly.
Right.
I've never actually seen Firefly.
A Knight's Tale. Do you guys know this film?
Is it the Heath Ledger movie?
That's the Heath Ledger one?
Yeah.
Wow. I know of it. I've never seen it, though.
I think he's in that. Unless I'm crazy.
Is it good?
I think I'm right, though. I love it. That doesn't mean that it's good.
It's good for you.
It's good for me.
Yeah. From the way you said it, it looked like you were expecting a wave of what? Oh, when you said Night's Tale.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you're a little
I don't
sheepish,
think it's traditionally considered a good movie, but I will watch it every time it's on TBS.
Yeah, I can't really think of too much stuff that he's been in.
But I know I've seen a lot.
Yeah.
But I can't, nothing like springs to mind. Though.
Wasn't he in that movie where Sandra Bullock was an addict?
28 Days Later?
Yeah, 28 Days Later. No.
Is that what it's called?
That's the zombie
28
one, right?
Days.
Oh, just 28 Days.
28 Days. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
That was a bad. Didn't they come out kind of a similar time, too?
Yeah, this was like an Ant's Bug's Life.
Exactly. Oh, he was in Firefly. That's right. Yeah. Did you say that already?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He's never seen it. Tony's never seen Firefly.
God, he had turned
in his nerd credentials.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Is it still mandatory nerd viewing, Firefly, you think? Or is it the ship sailed on that one?
I don't hear too many people
talk
about it.
I feel like you can't expect Gen Z to see it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right? Or maybe even young millennials. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's the... I heard that kids don't know who Tina Fey is anymore.
Really? What?
No. She was on, I guess, Jimmy Fallon recently, and that Korean BTS was on.
Oh, BTS, sure.
And I guess all the kids who tuned in to watch BTS were like, who's this Tina Fey lady on this show? Like, who is this woman?
Oh,
and so on. And
yeah, so I could see not having crossover because they would be too young to have watched, like, even Kimmy Schmidt, but she's not even on Kimmy Schmidt.
She's not, you know.
Except that she plays, like, Marcia Cross or what, like the prosecutor in the OJ trial. It doesn't matter. I'm sorry.
Not something we're going to
We'll talk about Star Wars now.
Kids today are always talking about the OJ trial.
although it is funny to imagine all those BTS fans going, oh, that's that woman, Fritz Marsha Clark from the OJ trial. So this goes back to something you said earlier in the week. We see the mouse droid in the background when they're sneaking in and does the bah, 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 bah,
yeah.
bah. So just one of those sounds that just inherently nostalgic for Star Wars nerds.
I know, and I love it and hate it at the same time because it's like, it's always that exact same noise. Is that all it does? We got to do some other sounds, right? Or at least in different rhythms.
Maybe it's like a cell phone, or, you know, like that.
No, it's like his
like
ringer.
The standard cell phone ring.
Yeah.
Maybe so.
They should really change it to something else, you know, go for a different marimba or something.
Yeah.
The listeners at home can't see the little dance you're doing with that, which really makes it.
So we get to see K2SO draining the memories of one of his colleagues there, which is very gruesome.
I don't like it.
Why don't you like it?
It seems like there would be another way. It does seem very gruesome. It seems like there would be another way, a different kind of easier way for that to happen. I'm sure there's data transfer between droids has to happen from time to time.
In like a friendship kind of way?
Yeah.
Or be like a Bluetooth or...
Yeah. I feel like there should be another way besides, like, literally it looks like he's like holding a corpse, you know, and like it's vampiric and it's I don't know. I mean, it doesn't, not enough to take me out of the movie. I'm just kind of like, that's creepy. I don't like that. Like, especially because he's not, you know, he's been the kind of wisecracking fun guy the whole time. And then all of a sudden here he is just like killing somebody and draining their blood information.
Well, earlier in there was a scene where Cassian says, we have to find a map. You know what to do. And he like looks up at K2SO, presumably implying that, okay, go kill somebody.
Right.
And I almost feel like it's almost like the same relationship that Cassian has with the rebels, where they're telling Cassian, okay, go murder that person.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and he kind of like, yes, sir, he has to go do it. So that now here Cassian is saying, go find another droid, kill him and take his memory away. And then, right. You know, so he's basically,
maybe I'm naive, but I, like, in my little brain, I'm always like, he's fine after. Like, I didn't think of it as killing him. I just, like, thought of it as, like, you know, he's doing this thing. It's not great.
Yeah,
right. But it's, like, he's fine afterward. He's just like, whoa, I have a little bit of a headache or something. You know, like, it's not, like, he's okay.
That could be true.
He has no recollection of it.
Yeah.
It's not going to, you know, it's not going to hurt his feelings.
That would be the best case scenario, I guess.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Unless
maybe this other K2SO robot was a jerk. And then we don't have
any problem.
He's evil. He is an Imperial droid.
Yeah. So. Yeah, he deserved it.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I take that back. I'm just kidding.
But I do like that it is that clunky old school. So contradicting what you said, I do like that it's an old school clunky.
Right. You know, that I do like. The standardization of Imperial ports.
Yeah. The fact that it's a physical, like, it kind of reminds me of those old computers from, you know, like a TRS-80 or something, you know.
Right.
Those printers used to make so much noise. It was like a, you know, it was right. So, anyway, so that, I do like the clunky 70s analog technology there.
Right.
It also kind of looks like the little circle on the Death Star plan thingy, you know. Yeah. It's like, I don't know why, it just made me think of that.
They've got like consistent like design themes.
Yeah.
The Empire, whoever they're, the Johnny Ive of the Empire is really, we need to do a story on him.
Yeah. Johnny what?
Johnny Ive.
Who's that?
The guy who he did a lot of the designs for Apple. Mm. Maybe if you were more the kind of guy who read Apple rumor sites in the 90s, you would know.
Oh, did you hear those were obsolete?
Did you hear the rumor?
Well, Krennic is responsible for a lot of the artistic look of the Imperial architecture and stuff. So.
He's responsible for it, but I don't know if he did it.
Oh, yeah, you know, okay. So maybe he didn't.
You know, we already saw him making sure that he got credit for things.
Oh,
you know,
yeah, that's true. He's probably... Yeah.
So, somewhere in there, there's their design. In last season, we talked about Johnny Ive because...
The stormtroopers.
Yeah, the Apple headphones were the inspiration for the original iPod headphones were stormtroopers. They looked at stormtroopers and they were like, well, we need something kind of sleek and cool like that. And then when they were making The Force Awakens, they actually went to Johnny Ive and bounced design ideas off of him to come up with how new modern stormtroopers would look. So it's a cyclical symbiont circle.
Wow.
It's like poetry.
It rhymes.
speaking of rhyming, one thing I like is when droids meet duplicates of themselves in Star Wars. Like when C-3PO meets another... we see two times where C-3PO meets other C-3POs.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Ejuta.
Right.
Yeah. So most of the time it doesn't seem like... Most of the time droids don't seem like they like their other counterparts.
Yeah. Mm.
Like, at best, it's like a frosty relationship.
Because C-3PO is like, oh, like nice to see a familiar face when he sees U-3PO.
So then he's 50-50.
Yeah. Then the other one, he's not happy to see him. So yeah. I think they should totally, like, when two droids meet, they should do like a Harpo-Lucy mirror bit. Groucho Harpo. A Harpo mirror bit.
Did you ever honk at someone who had the same make of car as you?
No.
No.
I've not honked at them, but I've given a little one of the cars that I have here in LA is a very square car. And there's a weird
not
kind
square
of
square in the hipster sense, square in the boxy sense.
Both, yeah. Kind of. There is a little weird kind of like with other people who have square cars, it's a little bit like, hey man, I see you. You Kia Soul, Cube, Nissan Cube, Scion XB. I'll beat myself.
It's a little bit rough crew, you're
I know. It's
PT Cruiser. Does that count?
No, it's too round. They're just showing off.
But it has Pete right there.
I know. I've had that little bit. Like, hey, like I see you, square car.
Okay. So you just point to them and say it. You know.
Right.
Because I knew a guy who lived on Long Island, and he had a car that he was very proud of. Mm. And whenever he would see someone with the same make, model of car, he would honk his horn.
Huh. What was the car?
I don't remember.
Was it like a Camaro?
What's a car that a Long Island... Not like so fancy. It's almost like a car, a fancy car like a dad would have. Not a fancy car like a cool kid. Not like a sports car, but like a...
So not like a Mustang.
And this is like 1989, keep in mind. Yeah. So it's right. not going to be a car, you know, it's probably like an IROC or something.
Like a Saab.
Yeah, it's something like that. Le car.
Le car.
Wait, there was another... never mind. Go on. Let's move on. Might start swearing about cars again.
You do get very worked up. Anyone else have anything else for Minute 93?
I get it. This may have come up last week, and I just want to say I get it. I understand why they're doing it, because hey, you want to see who it is, and you don't want to keep your, it's the Iron Man thing that you're always saying. You don't want to keep our actors' faces covered up, but I don't like the fact that she keeps popping her visor up, because, you know, none of the other landing control, air traffic controllers, whatever, the ground's crew, they don't have their things popped up. You can't see their eyes.
Yeah.
So, like, if she was really just trying to stay in disguise, she would keep that thing down a little bit. She's, like, popping it up and, like, looking around. And, like, you know, like, we can tell that that's Felicity Jones in there. And we don't, I know it's because it's for us, the audience. But still, it's... again, not enough to take me out of the movie, but it's just something that I'm like, oh, come on, just keep it closed. We know it's you.
It also is a little goofball. Like, I feel like it's, again, you're going into like a little bit of slapstick land when she pops it up, because it's like, it kind of makes it like she has, she's just these little eyes, like kind of looking around like a little bug.
Right.
Yeah, it's very cartoony.
It's a little goofballs.
She should do a little more like reaction, like wide eyes or like squinty, like get like really really do a lot of like emoting. At some point, yeah, they should just kind of like go out through the visor,
crazy spiral.
That's why she had to lift it up, because if she had it closed when her eyes went, they would have hit into the visor.
Yeah.
What about you guys? You got anything else that you wanted to talk about? Do you remember seeing Rogue One for the first time? How about that?
Yeah, I saw it. I think with all of the new movies, I have gone to the first showing available every night, because I don't want anyone to spoil it. Mm-hmm. So I try to go as early as I possibly can.
Which theater did you see it?
I saw this at the coolest place in LA, Universal City Walk.
Mm-hmm.
That's sarcasm. which has kind of turned into where I end up seeing all the new ones. But because it's one of the only places in LA that has like the real IMAX theater, because a lot of places like
it's a
call
big screen.
It IMAX, yeah. But... they have the true IMAX there, but then I always end up not able to get IMAX, but then it's like, well, I'm already looking, and yeah, we just go for Universal. But yes, saw it opening night with a group of people. I think all of us liked it except for past guest Todd Cooper, my former Feliz Navipod co-host. He just hates this movie, and I still don't understand why, and he thought we were all on the same page. And so, like, we walked into the theater, and he's like, you guys, this movie? And we're Yeah, what? that's always what I think of with this movie, is think of how much Todd thought we all hated it, aww, but it was only him that hated it.
Oh, I think I went with Brandon, my husband, and I think we went with our friend Matt Gourley and his wife Amanda, and I know Brandon doesn't like it. I really liked it. I assumed everyone, I was like in the same boat as Todd, I guess, in the on the opposite end, because I liked it and everybody else was not like a huge fan. I think Matt likes it more than Brandon does. Brandon really doesn't like it. He's like, just thinks it's trash. But it's just a fun story.
Yeah, I liked it when I saw it, but this one actually keeps growing on me.
Because I
liked it when I saw it, but then when I've watched, I just find each time I watch it, I actually enjoy it a little bit more.
I traditionally don't like movies with an unhappy ending. But I don't know. I like this movie. I think it's like such a cool story and such a nice way to, I don't know, like tell a neat Star Wars story. And and I was like kind of hungry for something that didn't have like that wasn't ruining my favorite characters. So yeah, I liked it.
It is kind of too bad, I think, that apparently the anthology film concept is defunct. Because, you know, like having a standalone story.
I think they'll go back to it. Because it's so low risk, essentially. Like, they're not, you know, other than monetary risk, which is, I guess, huge. But, you know, they're not, rather than committing to a new thing, I bet we'll see a couple more just kind of like, oh, hey, like, hey, although, I don't know, maybe not. Maybe they'll just do it as a Disney Plus.
That's what I feel like. They're just going to be like mini series.
They're just going to do more Mandalorians.
Also, cool with that, though, too. Like, in a way,
it's nice not to have to leave your house.
Yeah,
it is.
And to get something new. Like, I actually liked that they didn't release all those at once. I liked that everyone, if you were watching them when they came out, we all could talk about it, which is, I feel like I sort of miss those days.
Yeah.
Because I feel like everybody watches everything at once and everybody's at different places, but with putting them out once a week, it was kind of fun to be able to talk about that.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
At any given point on our show, what's this percentage?
Star Wars Minute. What?
Star Wars. No, out of all of our downloads on a given day, I think, is it like a third of them are current?
It's usually roughly half and half, I think.
So half the people are listening to current ones and half the people are listening to old ones. So everyone's like at different stages. Everyone's like at different points of listening to the, you know.
Yeah.
So, it's similar.
Mm-hmm.
Similar problem.
Right. You're saying we should have just released all 11 movies at once. We should have just done our minute by minute analysis, recorded them all, and just dropped them all at once.
That would have been pretty awesome, you have to admit. Yeah, but for 5 years we've been working on this podcast. We haven't released a single episode, but we have 800 episodes in the can, ready to go. Plop them all at one time. Release them every hour for 1,000 hours straight. Well, all right then. Minute 93. Then sounds like we'll send it to the books. That's a saying, right?
Yeah. Send her to the books, Johnny.
Okay. Well, while you're getting sent to the books, you can also go to StarWarsMinute.com/merch. That's where you can find all the cool, fun designs we've had here on the show.
That's where my book is from, right here. Look, I'm writing in a notebook.
That's true. You have the Snaggletooth Twins notebook with the red and blue Snaggletooth, which I think you also have as a shirt, don't you?
Oh yeah, it's one of my favorite shirts.
Mm-hmm. What Star Wars Minute merchandise do you have, Cece?
I gotta get some. I like that book. I didn't know about it. I'm sorry. I'm gonna go.
That's all right.
I'm going tonight. I'm going right now.
Hey, maybe you can bump into Cece while you're there. So go do that. And we'll be back tomorrow with another Star Wars
Minute.
Star Wars Minute.